better, right? Everybody's in an even better mood. Got all that extra vitamin D coming in. Fun time. All right, so this morning, praise and worship was absolutely wonderful. Think I'm good to go? Awesome. So this morning, I'll give you the topic as we get there, so that way you know how to arrange your your notes for when you go back and maybe study a little bit later. But we're going to touch on a topic that's one of the central promises that our God demonstrates time and time again throughout his word, and it's absolutely wonderful. It's a promise that when we truly accept and embrace it, it can provide such a peace to any and all things that you're dealing with, have dealt with, and may deal with in the future. It's a promise that it came down through 40 and two generations. So I've been growing up in a Baptist church type of deal. So when you talk about 40 and two generations, we're talking about 14 generations from Abraham to David, another 14 generations from, 14 generations from Abraham to, not to David. Man, I got to think back now. I know. I got my historian right here. 14 generations from Adam to Abraham. Abraham to David was another 14, another 14 before Jesus got here. So there you go. And that was roughly 420 years, give or take. So in all that time, it was something provided by our Father, and it was affirmed by our Son. So Jesus got here, and understand that when the Lord came, he made this promise that he would restore man. So if we go back to the beginning, Jesus came through a virgin birth, and he was like, great, man, Jesus is here. And then Jesus was like, okay, so I'm here. I'm 100% man. I'm 100% God. And despite all this, despite being the 100% man and being tested like the rest of us, some might say, well, he had an advantage because he was 100% God too, but he still had to deal with the same stuff that we had to deal with, right? And he still lived a perfect life. And despite living a perfect life, Jesus died a sinner's death. Died on a sinner's cross, and he did all that, and it wasn't like a normal sinner's cross death. It was pretty painful, and he did all that for us. He tucked that on the chin, but it didn't stop there. And if nothing else, if he would have stopped right there, a lot of people were like, oh man, that's pretty good. That is love. I can get with that. I can serve this man named Jesus who died. But he didn't stop there. On the third day, he got back up, got out the grave, had power over death, hell, and the grave, and we serve a living God. We don't serve a God who died. Well, he died and he rose. And by raising, he also, before he left, he gave us a wonderful promise. And that promise was that he would never leave us alone. That no matter what we're going through, no matter what situations may be happening in our lives, that we will not be alone. And God did that time and time again throughout the Bible. So that's the topic. It's going to be never alone. We are never alone because we are Christians. That's something I cannot speak for any other faith. I can speak for the Christian faith that our God is here for us. So, yeah, here we go. So, source scriptures for the New Testament. I like having a New and an Old Testament scripture. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. That is an awesome promise. And so, because the Old Testament is often a shadow of the New Testament. Old Testament, Prophet Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. You get time to study some Isaiah. It's a whole lot of chapters in there, a lot of good meaty material. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. So with the end in mind, let's take a look at some of the evidence that's in the Bible. Some of the folks, one of my absolute favorite people to talk about always, anytime I get a chance to talk, is David. And David is absolutely awesome because despite the fact that David did a lot of ratchet stuff, y'all. My goodness, man. David was like, whew. God knowing our end from our beginning. chose David at a young time. God had already identified David. Technically, if Saul did not mess up, David may not have been identified. But Saul went ahead and messed up his thing. God identified David from his wounds. Like, I have identified a man after my own heart, and he is one of Jesse's boys. He's come to the line of Jesse, right? And if you do some history on David, David's a little shepherd boy. He's out in the fields. He's killing lions. He's killing bears, not through his own power, through the power of God. And even despite all this, despite all these wonderful things, us as parents who have children in here, and we all have parents, you know, we did not get here by ourselves. So you would think as a parent, your little boy, your youngest, David was the youngest, he's over here killing lions, he's killing bears, he's keeping the sheep safe. You would think his dad would be really proud of him. Nope. Right? So despite all this, despite having to deal with that, some folks might have to deal with that in their own life, that I'm doing all this great stuff, and don't nobody seem to care. Nobody seems to see all this great stuff that I'm doing. And David's not even looking for notoriety, but the fact that his own daddy is like, it's pretty, that could be a shot to the pride. Could be a shot. So despite all that, the prophet Samuel comes. He says, hey, Jesse, I got some good news for you. Bring all your boys out here. And he brings all of his sons except for one. And the prophet Samuel, talking to God all the time, he was like, it has to be one of these. He thinks it's the very first one he comes to. And he was like, nah. God's like, nope, that's not it. That's not who I'm looking for. To the point where Samuel goes all the way through. None of the other 12 sons are, I'm sorry, at that time it was only 10. 11. At that time, it was only 11 because they had Benjamin later. So none of those sons were the ones. To the point where Samuel's like, hey, Jesse, do you have any more kids? He was like, I do have another kid. How bad is that? So the future king of Israel, his own daddy forgot he even had him. Like, it's that bad. It's not like he was asleep somewhere. Like, go get your little brother. It can't be him, but go get your little brother. And so they bring up the little brother. They anoint Samuel, prays over him. He's like, that's the king. He gets anointed. So we got all this stuff, right? And David obviously may have some potential issues after all that good stuff. So with that in mind, we talk about David. And I'll give you some scripture references. I won't go to them, but you can write them down and hit them up later. So now understand that, David was boy king. Yep. Understand David, because he was a man of God, God had identified to being after his own heart. And that's 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. That David, while not perfect, he understood that if he missed the mark, it was okay. It was okay not because he did something wrong, not because he sinned. It was okay that he knew that as long as I have breath in my lungs, I can apologize to God, and God is faithful to forgive me if I am truly apologizing to him. So God was like, I can get with that. Somebody who truly understands that when you mess up, as long as you don't get lost in the mess up, and you understand that I'm with you, I am walking with you, that I will forgive you, give me a chance to forgive you. He was like, man, that can preach. And David got that David got that 14 generations before Jesus even got here. So that's like, wow. So because of that knowledge of God, because David had that relationship or that understanding, David was able to write Psalm 23. And I'll go ahead and read that one for you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is amazing. That David could understand that God has put me here, And God did not save me for me just to be like, if something goes wrong, I can't recover. That God does not want me to do well. David understood that. David was like, okay, if it's bad, then God's grace must be sufficient. Whatever it is, right? Whatever it is, as long as I'm not dying from it, God's grace must be sufficient. And if I do die from it, he has that Ashat, Meshach, and Abednego spirit where, you know what, if I die, it's all good, because guess what? I'm going to heaven. So worst case scenario, I'm going to end up in heaven. But best case scenario, as long as I don't quit, God has an expected end from me. So we should get it. How much more should we get it? How much more should we get the fact that we're here after Jesus has died for us? We're here after Jesus has said, I will be with you to the end of time. That no matter what you do, I will be with you to the end of time. And so Jesus, being God, gives us some examples. He just says, you know, just trust and believe me. Just trust and believe me. And if you have any storms in your life, if you have some of those moments where you're like, whew, this one right here, this is rough. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. Jesus said, okay, invite me in, give it over to me, and I'll speak to your storm.
Yes.
I'll calm it down. I might give you a couple of, how much longer must I be with you? Right, you unfaithful folks. But he's like, I'm going to speak to that storm. It's okay. If you're dealing with some type of illness, whether mental, physical, whatever the case is, Jesus is like, I will cross a sea, I will cross the land, and I will come to you, and I will speak into your situation. And even though nobody else could cast out those demons or whatever the case is, I will cast it out. I will restore your body, I will restore your strength. And if I don't, then like Paul, my grace is sufficient. It's going to be okay. You're going to be all right. Just keep pushing. I got a plan for you. I got to point it in. And God forbid you got somebody and you're like, God, I'm leaving God for my friends. I'm leaving God for my mom or my dad. I'm leaving God for my children, my aunt, uncle, whatever the case is. And God's like, you know what? If they haven't gotten it right yet, I promise you, as long as they are still here, as long as they can talk, as long as they can confess the name of Jesus, as long as they can identify me as their Lord and Savior, that they will have the opportunity, and even if they're hanging on a sinner's cross and they have identified that, Lord, I have messed up, but please remember me when you get to paradise. That's them identifying that, you know what, God, I recognize that as sinful as I am, as much as I may deserve what just happened to me right here, that you can change that. And even when I leave this world, Jesus is like, well done, you will be with me in paradise. That's Jesus talking to the man on the cross. So Jesus says, believe that if you abide in him, that he will abide in you, that he will speak and make you whole, that he will sit with you, that he will never leave you or forsake you. That as 1 Peter 2, 9-10 states, God has chosen us as a chosen generation, right? He's chosen us. He's made us a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Believe that we are not lucky to know him. We are not just lucky to know God, but we are absolutely loved by God, that he's given us the opportunity to love him. Because God could have been like, you know what? I've made the universe. I've hovered over the earth. I've had it with these cats. I'm wiping them out. I'm done, right? He thought about doing that. And he was like, well, Noah's a faithful guy, so I won't wipe all the humans. I won't start from scratch. I'll rebuild through Noah. God had many opportunities. His own chosen people, Israel, rebelled repeatedly. Me and Asher were talking about this morning. The book of Jeremiah is a giant warning of get it right or I'm going to wipe you out. And they did not get it right. And the Babylonians came and put some hands on them, right? And even then, God was like, okay, you messed up, but I love you. So my wrath won't be towards you always. He won't always be angry at you. And then when he turns it around, he's like, I will turn it around in your situation, but you will learn from this. And if you don't learn from it, then you'll mess around. You'll be like the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years where you get to see the promised land, but you don't get to go in. Not knowing that the folks that you're worried about, those giants in the land, are already scared of you because they know God is with you. The land you promised for 40 years. So we have this wonderful opportunity to serve God. And we serve him because he died for us, and we serve him because he loved us, and we serve him because he is a living God who walks with us. And just go with that this week. Just go with that knowing that whatever you're dealing with, I know from a personal trial situation, right? Me and my wife, we had a situation with Joyce in the military. We were living apart for 22 months. Man, it's a lot of lonely situations in there. A lot of, God, nobody understands. I'm the only one in the land. I'm having my Elijah moment. I'm the only one. I'm your only prophet. Who else is going through it with me? God's like, it'll be okay. Relax. I'm with you. Just hold on through it. There is something on the other side. I have something for you that if you're going through it, it's to refine you. It's not to kill you because you're a believer. The fire is to make gold. The fire is not to burn you down. Just keep pushing. So whatever you're going through, if you have sickness in your body, just keep pushing. Just keep believing God, that God, okay, that there is a promise on the end of this, and that promise and that joy and that testimony is not even for me. It's for whoever you're looking to impact through my particular testimony. So just remember that what we're going through is never for us. It's for somebody else. It's so you can speak into somebody else's life and save them. Because God has called us and given us the commission that all, God desires that all will be saved. Understand that all will not be saved because the path is narrow. And the road to hell is wide. Still single file, but wide narrow, right? But that's pretty much it this morning. I want to give everybody the opportunity to please stand with me. Please stand with me. Interactive. I've been teaching all week. I've been pretty interactive all week. And I didn't even go like for an hour this time, so I'm pretty good. So please close your eyes. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the God, Son of the living Lord, that you came to this earth through a virgin birth, that you lived a perfect life, that you died on a sinner's cross, that you rose on the third day with power over death, hell, and the grave. I offer you to come into my life as the Savior of my soul, and I recognize you as my Lord. I thank you that I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I will say this to you. If that was your first time praying that prayer and you have not had the opportunity and you're thinking, you know what?